Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians. The first few verses here are not actually in your notes, but they might be later in the notes, but I wanted to go through them here at the beginning. The teaching I will be going over with you here is the mystery. The mystery. This particular subject is one that first got me really excited about God and about our Lord Jesus Christ. When I'd never heard this taught before, and it absolutely thrilled me, changed my life, set me on a quest that I'm still on today. And really, it was seeing that there was a mystery in the Bible. And through the years, I've talked to other people in churches, and it's not a subject that people really preach about. It's not something that you go to a main denomination church and ask people there, what do you know about the mystery? Most people never even heard about anything in the Bible about a mystery. And yet, the Apostle Paul talks frequently about the mystery, about this mystery of God that was kept secret. And it's a huge deal. I don't know if I can convey how big a deal it is this morning, but I'd like to go to you with the scriptures to read some of this. And this is these are the verses that first really got me intrigued about this subject. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery." Paul said he spoke the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, this hidden wisdom of God, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. This wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you see what that says? I mean, think about what that's saying. And as we'll look at more scriptures, the chief ruler of this world, or the god of this age, is the devil. He is a spiritual being, Satan. And the scriptures very clearly talk about him as being the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age. Under him there's a whole kingdom of spirit power and spirit beings who are at work within the world we live, who operate and function. And under them, there are actually leaders, men in this world who are rulers in the world. At the time of Jesus, some of the men that were rulers were Pilate, the Roman governor over Judea. There was Caiaphas, who was the leader of the Jewish people, the high priest at the time. All these are rulers of this age. And what this verse says is, had they known the mystery that I'm going to share with you this morning, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ. That should catch our attention. That should make us say, what is it? Why was this so great that these would not have killed Jesus Christ? Well, I know from Satan's perspective, when he fell into God's plan and had the Messiah crucified, he actually sealed his own doom. But it wasn't understood. And we'll look at some of this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The last few months we have been studying the Apostle Paul, actually for like 6 weeks now, right? We started in July. We've been studying the life of the Apostle Paul, and we've been going through his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, Acts 13, Acts 14, Acts 15, Acts 16, well, not 15, but 16, 17, 18. We looked at the last few weeks, that's what we've been looking at, seeing the Apostle Paul and seeing the commitment that he had and seeing the persecution that he had to get the message of the gospel out. Perhaps no other man suffered as much as the Apostle Paul. And just to reiterate these, we read in weeks past, but I want to read these again. 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Again, we looked at these verses several times the last few weeks, but are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more laborers, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. I don't know any man that went through the things that we just read there. You know, give me one of those things for speaking the gospel message, and I might think twice about continuing. But all this happened to the Apostle Paul. I mean, I'm thinking about stoning. Stoning, you know what the purpose of stoning was? It was to kill you. It was capital punishment. And actually, they thought he was dead. Remember the record in Acts 14? They thought they'd done it. I mean, you know, one stone. And the other day, were you guys here for the hail on Tuesday night? Tuesday, I'm driving home, and I'm pulling up in my van, and it starts hailing. I mean, it was, do you guys see that? I mean, it lasted for like 15 minutes. And these hailstones, I'm not getting out of the van. I only had to go from here to there, but I don't really want to get hit with hailstones. Okay, these little hailstones. Paul was stoned. I mean, one stone, I mean, you ever been bruised by one? I mean, what did he look like? What's it look like to get stoned? What's it look like to get whipped 39 times, 5 times, to get beaten with rods? There is no man that I know of that was persecuted like this man. And there's no man that I know of with a gospel message that has been so resilient as this man. So the question I have to you is, why? Why such persecution against this one? And why such commitment on his behalf? Chapter 12 tells you why. Why he had this thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, or King James says buffet me, or the word can be beat me. This thorn in the flesh was sent from Satan to take him out because of the abundance of the revelation that was given to Paul. And the abundance of the revelation given to Paul as you read the church epistles is this message of the mystery of God, of which had Satan known it, he wouldn't have crucified. The rulers of this age would not have crucified Jesus Christ. And when Paul revealed it, the messenger of Satan wanted to take him out because of this mystery. I think we should look at it, don't you? Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I've taught the mystery several times. My son Brad asked me what I was teaching. And he said, Dad, you should do a teaching and you should call it The History of the Mystery. I like that. I already had the programs made up in my slides, but I like that. The history of the mystery. Anyways, I thought it was chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verse 1. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Here Paul is called a prisoner. Now, when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he was literally in prison. He was in prison in Rome, and he wrote a letter back to the church at Ephesus as a prisoner. It says this in Ephesians 4:1. Also, the book of Colossians was written while he was in prison. He's called the prisoner of the Lord in Colossians 4:3. Ephesians 6:19 and 20, he's called the prisoner of the Lord. So literally, he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in prison because of his stand for the gospel message. But I think even more so, I think he freely was bound to the gospel. I think Paul, by his free will, became a slave, a servant, and bound himself to this doctrine of the mystery. And he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. You see this word stewardship? Anybody have a King James Version of the Bible? It says dispensation, doesn't it? Dispensation. This word is the word, Greek word oikonomia. And as you read different translations, I think the English have had a different difficult time translating this word. But every time this word is used, except for ones that we're going to look at in Luke, all of them specifically deal with Paul's ministry in relationship to the mystery. So it's an important word when we're looking at the mystery, this word oikonomia. Let me show you some of the ways it's translated in other Bibles. In the King James Version, the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, and the American Standard Version all translate this word as dispensation. The Darby Bible and the NIV translate this here as the word administration. The RSV, the NET, the ESV, and the NASB translate this word here as stewardship. The New Jerusalem Bible translates it as the way entrusted, and possibly the very earliest English translation, the Tyndale New Testament, translates it as ministration. These are all ways this one Greek word, oikonomia, is translated. And the reason I bring this up is because there is a whole theology in Christendom today that is based upon a wrong understanding of this word. And that is the doctrine or the theology of dispensationalism or administrations. For years, I believed this doctrine and held to it. And just a summation so that you understand where I'm coming from, the teaching of dispensationalism is basically it segments the Bible into different what they call in the theology administrations or dispensations. And they say there was the original paradise administration. And then after Adam fell, then there was the patriarchal administration. And this was, you know, so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. And then with the law of Moses, then there was a new administration. This was the law administration. And this was to Israel. And then after that, at the time of Jesus Christ, the law was all brought under Christ. And you had the Christ administration for that short time when he was on earth, and the Gospels were part of this administration. Then you have the administration of the mystery, which is what Paul is writing about here, that this is the mystery administration. And then you have the appearing administration, and this was for Israel, and this is where the book of Revelation fits in, is in this sixth administration, which was separate. And then you have the final paradise administration, and that is in a summation the theology of dispensationalism or administration. And this is what I taught. And what happens with that doctrine is I say I'm in the grace administration. Nothing that happened in the Old Testament is applicable to me. Nothing in the Gospels is applicable to me. Nothing in the book of Revelation is applicable to me. The only thing that matters to me is this little section of where I am right here. Everything else is nice. I can learn from it, but it's not addressed to me. And this is this doctrine of administrations. And it all stems from a misunderstanding of this word, oikonomia. And you can see that the English translators have had difficulty translating this word. The same word is used if you look back at Ephesians chapter 1 and look at this. Again, Paul's talking about the mystery. Ephesians 1 verse 9, it says he made known to us the what? The mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration, an oikonomia, suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, even in him. Again, that is the word oikonomia. And this translates differently in other English Bibles. King James Version, Bishop's Bible, Geneva Bible, and American Standard 1901 all translated here as dispensation. The Darby Bible, NASB and NET all translate this as administration. Now, I should point out to you, too, Darby, in 1884, the Bible, Darby, out of Britain, right? Was he English? And he is the one, the main, what you would call the father of this theology of dispensationalism. Until Darby, this whole idea wasn't even, it was a kind of a kingdom message. The Bible is about God's story of the kingdom, but with Darby, this is where this idea came up. So, and that's, the Darby Bible translates administration. RSV and ESV translate this word as a plan. New Jerusalem Bible, to act upon. NIV, to put into effect, and Tyndale New Testament was have it declared. So my point is, you can see there's differences of understanding this word. Well, here's what the word means. The word that's translated here in the NASB as stewardship in chapter 3 and administration in chapter 1 is this Greek word oikonomia. And it is the management of a household or of a household affairs. Specifically, the management, oversight, administration of others' property. The office of a manager, an overseer, stewardship. Really, the best understanding of this word comes from the scripture itself. So let's turn there to Luke. Luke chapter 16. Because I think if you understand this, you understand, what you'll understand is Paul's commitment to this mystery. Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. It says, "Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And the manager was reported to him as squandering his possession. And he called him and said to him, 'What is it I hear about you? Give an account of your management.'" That word management? Oikonomia. Give an account of your oikonomia. Your stewardship. "For you can no longer be manager." And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking away my management, my oikonomia, away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. So when I am removed from my oikonomia, my stewardship, management, people will come me unto their homes." And he summoned each one of his master's debtors and began to say to him, "How much do you owe your master?" And he said, 100 measures. He said, "Take your bills, sit down, write 50. Another, "How much?" He said, 100 bills. He said, "Take bill, write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous master because he had acted shrewdly, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their kind than the sons of light. So, from that chapter, it's about a man overseeing a household, right? He's a steward. He's a manager of this household. So when Paul uses this word in regards to the mystery, what is he saying? He's saying, I have been given a stewardship. Listen to this. I've been given a stewardship of the mystery of God. Not one little section of time, but the whole ball of wax. Don't you see? Paul received the revelation and the understanding that put the whole Bible together. And he was a steward, a stewardship of the mystery, of this mystery of God which was hid, which had anybody known it, the rulers of this world wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. And we're going to look here about how well God can hide a secret. Back to Ephesians. Actually, no, before you go to Ephesians, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9. another use of this oikonomia in here and what was committed to Paul. Here in 1 Corinthians 9, and I think Sean shared this one the first week when we started doing stuff with Paul, that the context here is they were accusing Paul of certain things. And what he handles here in this section is that it's okay for a person who works full-time preaching the gospel, it's acceptable for him to receive a paycheck from the people that he serves. He says, you know, even the ox gets, you know, to eat when he plows the field. A pastor who is preaching should be able to get paid for what he does. But then Paul says, but I didn't do this in Corinth. I worked so you didn't have to pay me. I had every right to be paid, but I didn't do that. So you follow this. Chapter 16, and he says, well, verse 15, he says, but I have used none of these things. I didn't do this. And I'm not writing these things so it will be done in my case. For it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I... Now here's what Paul said. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. Paul said, I'm compelled, don't you see? I gotta speak. I gotta speak it. I'm under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. I've got an oikonomia. I've got a responsibility to get this message out. And that's the way Paul viewed his life. I have a management, a stewardship of the mystery of God that I need to get out. You're like, come on, the money? Do you think I'm doing it for the money? You think I'm getting beaten for the money? Getting stoned for the money? It's because I was committed a stewardship of God to get the message of the mystery out. For what is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as to not make full use of my right in the gospel. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself slave to all, so that I may win more. Like I say, Paul imprisoned himself. He was in prison, but he imprisoned himself. I have become slave to all, so that I can win more, so I can reach more, so I can get God's message of the abundance of the revelations that he revealed to me, that I can make this known to the world, the mystery of God. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. So, Ephesians 3, verse 3. Well, he says in verse 2, indeed you have heard of the stewardship. I think stewardship's a good word here. The stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. That by revelation, he made known to me the mystery. As I wrote before in brief. Paul mentions this earlier in Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Also, he briefly mentions this in Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. I think he can be talking about that, like in brief. Briefly, I mentioned this earlier in this book. He also could be talking about the book of Corinthians and Galatians, both which were written prior to the book of Ephesians. And in both of those books, Galatians and Corinthians, he mentions the mystery. So I'm not sure if he's talking about, you know, the chapter 1 and 2, or if he's talking about the books of Corinthians and Galatians. But he said, briefly, I wrote about this before, okay, about this mystery. Verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you may understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, or into the mystery of the Messiah, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. It was not made known to the sons of men. None of the sons of men, no man knew and understood the mystery of God before the Apostle Paul wrote it. That's amazing. You ever read the Gospels? Sometime go back and read the Gospels. Jesus goes and he tells his disciples. He says, this is it's written in Mark, Matthew, and Luke this way. He says to them, the Son of Man is going to be taken. He's going to be beaten. He is going to be crucified and killed. And then 3 days later, he's going to be raised from the dead. You understand that, right? Real simple to understand. Read what it says in the Gospels about his disciples. You know what they says? They understood none of these things. And it was hidden from them. And they couldn't understand what he was talking about. He told them right out. But God's wisdom is so big, people didn't understand it. They didn't know what Jesus was talking about. What's up with that? Because it's hidden. Because I don't think, doesn't matter how smart you think you are, if God has something hidden, you're not going to understand it. You're not going to get it. Because the creator of heaven and earth is a little bit wiser than all of us. And if he wants to hide a secret, he can hide it. And this is the best kept secret ever in the world. That's why I love this topic. It's the best kept secret ever done in the history of mankind. The mystery wasn't made known to the sons of men. Verse 6, to be specific, here is in a nutshell the great results of this mystery. That the Gentiles, all the nations of the world, are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise. You see, up until this understanding, and up until really Acts 10 was the first time any Gentile received, and then Paul is the one that really brought this out to the Gentiles, the Gentiles couldn't be singing that song we sang at the beginning. Lord God of Abraham. Because he wasn't their God. They were separate from the covenants to Abraham. They were separate from the covenants to Israel. And you know what? The name Abraham, check this out. He was called Abram, right? And God changed his name to Abraham. Do you know why? Because Abraham means a father of many Gentiles. And Israel never got it. They never understood. They never understood the greatness of this plan. Was Israel was to be a nation of priests, an example, a light to the world, to bring people to the Messiah so that every single human being who was born could partake in the covenants of God and receive eternal life in the kingdom to come. That's the mystery. But it wasn't understood how it was going to get accomplished. Through the Messiah having to die for the sins of mankind. It was hidden. And Paul knows the truth now. And that's his job, is to get this mystery out to the world. So, it says in verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, the unfathomable riches of the Messiah, and to bring to light what is the oikonomia, the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. It was hidden in God. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. If you look at Ephesians 1, you'll see that Jesus was sent far above every power, might, dominion, and ruler of this world. In Ephesians 2, it says that we were under the course of this world, under the rulers of the darkness of this world. In Ephesians 6, Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This mystery was hidden in God from mankind, and it was hidden in God from the spirit realm. That's pretty amazing. God has a tight lip. You ever have a secret that you, like maybe you have a surprise party and you want to tell, but you know that if you tell the wrong person, it's going to blow it? Well, God looked around. I ain't telling nobody. Right? The seraphims are up there. I ain't telling them. Satan's over there with his army. I ain't telling him. You got mankind. Like you got people like Abraham. Oh, I'm not going to tell him. David, not going to tell him. Didn't tell anybody until Paul. That's why Paul was so committed. Because he held in his hands what you and I hold in our hands right now. The truth of God's plan for the ages. The truth of His mystery. To be made known to the world what life is all about. And he had this. Even the angels didn't know. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. This is amazing. Just amazing. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. It's a great section here. And I saw something in here I'd just never read before. It's just, it will blow, we should use this term, it will blow your mind. It's just an incredible truth. First Peter 1, verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace which would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. The prophets who wrote all through the Old Testament was written by the prophets. They made careful searches and inquiries. We read the prophets. We read like Isaiah. We've been reading this in our Berean. We read Ezekiel, which we're going to be teaching in the month of September. We're going to start our Berean class. We read these men like Jeremiah. We read men like David. And you see them questing, oh God, teach me your ways. Teach me, why are you doing this? Why am I going through this? They searched, they inquired, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. They saw these things. But they couldn't grasp it. They inquired. They searched. They made careful inquiry. Verse 12. And it was revealed to them, look at this, that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things which have now been announced to you through the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which things the angels long to look into. Do you see what that says? Listen, we read, like we read Ezekiel as we're going through here. And we read it in Isaiah and in Jeremiah. Where God would tell these prophets, I want you to go to these people and I want you to speak my words to them. And you speak my words to them and they're not going to listen to you. So why speak it? Why did he have the prophets do this? Go through what they went through? If nobody was going to listen. For you. For you. For you. They did it for us. So that we today can have the whole ball of wax. and we can understand this mystery of God through the words of the prophets, through what they pointed to in the future was coming. This mystery was made known. Wow! The wisdom of God was hidden in a mystery. And then he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And then the Apostle Paul, he was compelled. He was compelled. It doesn't matter what. I've got to preach the gospel. You know, go back to Ephesians. And I want to read to you this again, what it says here. Paul was sent to preach this message to the church. We today are the church. We are the church. And it says in verse 9 again, to bring to light what is the administration or the oikonomia, the stewardship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through where? The church. To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This message that was entrusted to Paul has now been entrusted to us, so that we make known this message to the rulers in heavenly places. We make this known, this message, to the world. This message of the mystery. Verse 11. This was in according with the eternal purpose. This is God's purpose, or in some translations, the purpose of the ages, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. This has been hidden from God from ages and generations, and now it's made known. And yet, if you ask most people, church-going people, I challenge you this week, actually, go to a church-going person and ask them, what's the mystery? Did you know there is a mystery in the Bible? And I bet you most people have never even heard of it. So I think Satan's still doing a pretty good job of hiding it. I think he's doing a pretty good job of keeping people silent, keeping them quiet. We as the church need to get a little compulsion in our own life, to be compelled to bring this message out to the world, to take what we can see in the scriptures and bring this message of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the Messiah, out to the world and make it known. I want to close, and I have these in your notes on the back page. I also have them up here with the NET version of these verses. I just think it's wonderful. It says in Ephesians, this is from the NET Bible, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given me to you, that by revelation the divine secret was made known to me, as I wrote before briefly. When reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into this secret of Christ. Now, this secret was not disclosed to people in former generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Namely, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel, according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the exercise of his power. To me, less than the least of all saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about God's secret plan. A secret that has been hidden for ages in God who created all things. The purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed to the rulers and authority in the heavenly realms. This was according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God because of Christ's faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we truly are in awe at your wisdom, in awe of your multifaceted wisdom, and your understanding is beyond anything that any man can comprehend. That we could have just one bit of knowledge of you, God, is incredible. But to think now that through the scriptures, through the life of this man, Paul, we can have a knowledge of the mystery of the Messiah, that we could understand this truth. Words cannot express, God, how unbelievably thankful we are for your grace and mercy upon our lives. To this we give you praise and honor for your magnificent wisdom that you have bestowed upon the world. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.